আসসালামু আলাইকুম ওয়া রাহমাতুল্লাহি ওয়া বারাকাতুহু। আলহামদুলিল্লাহ আলহামদুলিল্লাহি ওয়া কাফা ওয়াস সালাতু ওয়াস সালামু আলা সাইয়্যিদিনিল মুস্তাফা সাল্লাল্লাহু আলাইহি ওয়া আলা আলিহি ওয়া আসহাবিহি ওয়া বারাকা ওয়া সাল্লামা তাসলিমা কাসীরা কাসীরা। আম্মা বা'দু, ফাকাদ ক্বালা আল্লাহু তাবারাকা ওয়া তাআলা, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين، صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers, there are so many topics that we have discussed and we have left them without completion. So thinking of which one to take this morning, a very desire came into my heart to repeat something that was discussed in the majlis or in the talks which take place on Sunday nights in this masjid for about 45 minutes. Over 4 or 5 weeks, we discussed this hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, which is very pertinent, which is very relevant. And since the audience is not the same, and even if it was the same, it is necessary for us to listen to these hadith sharifs and to the Quranic verses repeatedly, so that we may become practical Muslims. So I will try to condense it, something that was discussed over 4 or 5 weeks, 45 minutes a time, in about 20 minutes. If we don't complete it, then inshallah, next week we will try and complete it. It is a hadith of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, reported by many sahaba ikram ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in. You and I, we are living in a time when we find it extremely difficult to make ibadat, to make zikr, to make tilawat, to get up for tahajjud, to make ishraq, or make awwabin, or chasht, or go for jihad. So Islam being a religion, Islam being a way of life which is practical, Islam being for all kinds of people, whether they are strong or they are weak, whether they are black or white, whether they are living in America or China, Islam being for the rich and the poor, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just as he gave us the fazilat and the virtues of engaging in all these optional ibadat, he gave us the virtues of engaging in all these optional ibadat. And indeed, those people who, together with their farais, together with their wajibat, together with those things which are obligatory and compulsory and farz on every individual, those who engage in these optional ibadat, then indeed they are indicating that they have got love for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Because in the love of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, these people do a lot of optional ibadat. If a person has been employed to work from 8 to 5, and this person says, I will not ask for any further salary, but I want to work another 3 hours more. I will clean the shop, I will reset the goods, and I will make some changes and alterations to boost the business. Then that boss is going to be the happiest one in this world. He will say, I have got an employee who is not like the present day employees. He wants to work more and does not want to even ask for anything in addition. So he will say, I will give you much, much more than the others. Even though you are not asking, but I will give you. Because he is showing a love for that business, for that master of his, for that boss or manager or director, and for that business. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he has got a very limited amount of things that every individual has to do. The farais are very limited. Namaz, roza, zakat, hajj, it's very limited. There is not much that a person has to really do when we look at the farais. It is practical, it is easy, But then to show that we are the creation of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, that we have got love for Him, we should engage in these optional ibadat. But because we are weak, and there will be many people who will say that we did not have the strength to undertake this ibadat, so therefore we could not reach those high stages. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, being rahmatul lil alameen, a mercy for all the worlds, He did not deprive even the weak ones. So listen carefully to what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has to say. In this hadith it is said that those people who cannot attain 8 things, they cannot get the virtues of 8 good deeds. They are very virtuous deeds and they are excellent, and a person should try and engage in them, but because of their weakness they cannot seem to engage in those 8 virtuous deeds. Then they should not neglect another 8 things which will be mentioned. For if they engage in those 8 things, inshallah, they will get those rewards of those people who are engaging in those virtuous deeds. It will not be the same, but still Allah Ta'ala, out of His mercy and kindness, will equate them with those people. So the first thing that has been mentioned there is that those people who cannot get up for tahajjud salat, because we will hear about a lot of virtues of tahajjud salat, so then immediately it comes to our mind that we cannot attain this. It is difficult for us because we cannot go to sleep early. We have got a lot of commitments with our television box, so therefore we can't go off to bed early. So therefore, these people who cannot get up for tahajjud, they cannot get those virtues of tahajjud, salat, because that is one salat where the person is communicating with his Rabb, where there is no one in between. There's nothing else that can keep that person awake or stay away from his bed for a little while, except the love of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Because it's not farz, it's not wajib, so the person can say that, why should I make it? But if he's getting up and he's making it, then it shows that he has got a relationship with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. In fact, those people who are in the habit of tahajjud, from the morning they wait for the night. Like how lovers meet for the night to meet the beloveds. So these people, they wait for the night, that when will the night come that I can engage in some communication with my beloved. And not a beloved who does not know what I am asking. Not a beloved who is useless and powerless and toothless and spineless. He is talking to a beloved in whose hands the person's life lies. All treasures lie. And when he is making ah, when there is a sigh from his heart, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is listening to that sigh. In fact, you have heard many times that it is only Islam and the Allah of the Muslims that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has included in His name, the ah of the believers. That there is no other religion that you will find that in their God's name, the ah of the believers is included, or the followers of that faith is included. It is only Allah, and only Allah, that when you say ah from the deep bottom recesses of your heart, whether it is in pain, whether it is in any kind of difficulty, whether it is in any kind of problem, and whether you say it at night or you say it during the day, whether you say it in the darkness or you say it in light, whether you say it individually or whether you say it collectively, wherever you may be, whether you are in the car, in the train or in the plane, whether you are traveling on the road or you are 33,000 feet above sea level, if you just say, oh Allah, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is listening to the sigh. He has included the ah of His servants into His name. Where can we find another merciful and beloved Allah like that? And then not only that he just listens to it and he cannot do anything about it. That Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is not such that He can just listen to your ah and after that He can't do anything. There are lots of people got a lot of problems and they come to us and they say, we've got this problem, try and do something. But there are many problems that we can't resolve, we cannot solve. A person comes and says, I've got this problem, my son is a drug addict and he's gone too far and he's spending so much on drugs and he's doing this and he's doing that. All we can say is, we will try, we will counsel him, we will advise him. But it's not in our hands to solve the problem. Just like that, if somebody says that my wife is suffering from cancer and we want you to do something, so the doctor can say, I will give medication, I will treat, I will do this, I will do that. But the doctor cannot take qasam and say that I will cure that patient. The cure is not in the hands of the doctor. Dua aur dawa mein asar hai zarur, marizo ki shifa lekin daste khuda mein hai. So therefore, here the person who cannot get up for tahajjud salat, but it is his desire, it is his will, it is his wish that he could also have been amongst those people who had this good opportunity and fortune of communicating with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. They could have had the courage and the himmat to get up at that time. They too could have been engaging in duas at that part of the time and seeking from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. But they do not have the strength. So such people, they are not deprived if they stay away from sins for the rest of the day. That in the morning they regretted why they couldn't get up for tahajjud salat. So now they should not lose hope. They should not despair of Allah Ta'ala's mercy. They say, such people, if they stay away from sins, for the rest of the day they stay away from sins, then they will get the same reward and sawab as those people who stayed up for tahajjud. Because many of them who get up for tahajjud, after that they engage and indulge in so much of sins that there is nothing left of the tahajjud. So this person is much, much more muttaqi and much, much more pious and righteous and God-fearing, who might not be making tahajjud salat, but he is staying away from everything that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has declared haram. For it is not farz and wajib to make tahajjud, but it is farz and wajib to stay away from all sins and all things that Allah and his Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam have declared haram. What is the sense the person is getting up for tahajjud, ishraq and chasht, and after that he does not leave any woman on the road without casting lustful glances? What is the sense of that tahajjud that he is getting up, but after that when he goes to his business, then there he is planning how to commit fraud, or how to forge a check, or how to mislead a customer, or how to deceive and cheat, or if that person is indulging in hiding the defects in his articles, when he is selling, he is telling stories which are not true. So what is the sense then of that tahajjud salat? So this person who is staying away from sins, he is not committing adultery, he is not committing fornication. Accidental sins, then he considers that as having drunk some poison. When a person drinks poison accidentally, then he does not leave it in his system. He will try and spew it out, irrespective of what difficulty he has to undergo. If they say, thrust your fingers down your throat and spew it out, he'll do that. So this person who commits some sin accidentally, this is what he considers, that I have drunk poison. This poison has gone into my system. It is going to destroy my spirituality. It is going to destroy that connection that I have with my Allah. So therefore this person will make plenty of istighfar and tawbah, and he will be again raised to the position of a muttaqi when he makes sincere tawbah, that I'm not going to go back to that sin. Accidentally again he goes back, he makes a lot of tawbah, but he does not become persistent. So therefore Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that that person who cannot get up for tahajjud, if this person is going to stay away from sins for the day, then he will be equated with those people who were making tahajjud salat. Because there's a lot of dini activities that we engage in. We make a lot of optional ibadat, and we make a lot of zikr and a lot of tilawat, and we make a lot of ishraq and chasht and awabin, and we keep reading about the virtues of these good deeds. There is no doubt that these good deeds must be increased in our lives, because they will build up that connection someday or the other. But to just remain in those good deeds for those virtues that are promised, but not to make an effort on one's life to give up those sins which are haram. How many of us, we make hajj upon hajj, we make umrah upon umrah, we make tahajjud, ishraq and chasht, but years have gone by and we do not have the himmat and the courage to say that this television is bringing about a disaster in our spiritual lives and therefore we must get rid of it. We will always justify that there are certain programs which are very educational. There are certain programs which are considered as permissible by the ulama. There are certain programs that the muftis have given fatwas that you can watch on the television. That is what we will do. We'll try and justify it because we consider ourselves as pious. We consider ourselves as righteous. We consider ourselves as God-fearing. We consider ourselves as tahajjud makers and ishraq makers and chasht makers. And we consider ourselves as dini workers. So therefore we will justify it. We will say that there is nothing wrong because we don't see anything haram. We only watch these few things. But when we know so well that 90% of the content of the programs is haram, 90% of what comes on it is haram, and when we know what it has done to the lives of so many people, then why justify it? That shows our weakness. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that that person who cannot make tahajjud salat due to some weakness or the other, or he cannot get the himmat and the courage to make tahajjud salat, but you have heard that if the person cannot make tahajjud late part of the morning or early part of the morning, then at least between the two sunnats of Isha and the three witr of Isha, if he makes two rakat namaz with the niyat of tahajjud, he too will be raised on the day of Qiyamah with those people who were making salatul layl. Islam is so beautiful. Whichever angle you look at it, from whichever direction you look at it, there is nothing but beauty in Islam. It is just our fault that we cannot see. Because of our weakness, we try to find all the faults in Islam. Whereas there is no weakness in Islam. Therefore, those people who say Islam has become very weak in the world, Islam hasn't become weak anywhere. Islam will never become weak anywhere. How can Islam become weak? Yes, we can say that the Muslims have become weak. Because the more you suppress Islam, the more it will go higher and higher. And we have seen throughout history that when Islam or when the Muslims were suppressed, those who were true Muslims, then what was the result? Did Islam die off? So the Islam is never weak anyway. Yes, we Muslims can be weak. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, for the weak ones like us, he says that those people who cannot make tahajjud, then at least stay away from sins. Put all the effort into sins. The mashayikh of our time, they say that do not worry about too much of optional ibadat, because we will not be able to do it, and then we will find justification. We will say that it's difficult, we are committed to so many of our activities of life, and we cannot make it. So instead of that, do whatever you can of the optional ibadat, but those things which are farz, it is farz to stay away from haram. What is haram? It is farz to stay away from that haram. So make an effort during the day to stay away from that haram. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that this person will be equated with that person who is making tahajjud salat. Allah ta'ala will give him those same rewards. We will go quickly on to the next one. That the second thing Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentions is that those people who cannot fast, you cannot keep optional fast. There are a lot of nafil rozas that people are encouraged to keep, 13th, 14th and 15th of the month. Muharram 10th and so many other rozas, Arafat roza, etc. Now those people who cannot keep nafil fast, so they should not make an excuse that we cannot keep nafil fast, so therefore, well, how can we reach those stages? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, out of His mercy and kindness, He will equate those people who control their tongues with those who are keeping nafil fast. They are keeping nafil fast. Now this person who is weak, either is sick or is weak or he's got so much of commitments, or that he cannot keep fast, nafil rozas. So this person, if he controls his tongue for the day, if he controls his tongue, then he will get the reward that the people are of those people who are keeping nafil rozas on that day. Because this person is controlling his tongue, and it's not an easy thing, especially when you are amongst friends. When you are amongst friends, or when there are some enemies that you are talking to, or when there are clients that you are talking to, or when you are indulging in some any other talk, then at that time to control this tongue, to keep it clear of ghibat, backbiting, and especially those people who are making tahajjud, ishraq and salat and keeping nafil rozas, so then it means that on the one hand you are doing something that is optional. On the one hand we are doing something that is optional. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala is not going to question, did you make ishraq? Did you keep nafil roza on the 10th of Muharram? Did you keep nafil roza on the Arafat day? Allah is not going to question. But this tongue, when we are going to engage it in ghibat, backbiting of people, talking ill of people, talking about those things which, if it was said in the presence of that person, he will become annoyed and displeased. So there, this is an effort that the person has to make to control this tongue. So to control the tongue from all haram, or cursing somebody, or swearing somebody, or talking about things which are haram to talk, then this tongue which he is using, if he puts a control on that, and he does not allow it to engage in anything haram, then he will get the same reward that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives to those people who are keeping optional fast. Lots of people in the month of Ramadan, they say we have to pass our time. So to pass time, what do? Gossip about the world, and engage in all kinds of haram. So that is what we are being told, that instead of nafil rozas, keep it if you can keep, then you will get much more reward. But if you cannot, then do not despair, at least control this tongue. Then we go quickly to the third one, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that those people who want to make jihad, they say that we must go out fi sabilillah, we must go and make jihad for the sake of Islam and for the sake of deen, and we must fight in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's cause, and we must give our lives. But the rewards of that jihad, they cannot achieve because of their weakness, because of their commitments, or because of any other reason. Now these people cannot make that kind of jihad. But the desire is in the heart that I wish I too could have made jihad in the path of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So does it mean that these people now must just relax and say that we can carry on and it doesn't matter, we can commit any kind of sins, and we cannot go out in jihad, so therefore we will not be questioned? No. You cannot go out in jihad, you cannot get those virtues that the people who go out in jihad get. Then make jihad against nafs and shaitan. This is an ongoing jihad. It is a 24-hour jihad. It is much more jihad than even those people who go in the battlefield and one bullet and they are gone from this world. Indeed, they are martyrs and they are shaheed, if it was a proper jihad. But these people on whom that sword is on their neck all the time, or that gun is at their head all the time, nafs and shaitan are tempting them all the time towards sin and towards haram. The moment you open a newspaper, there are so many articles that will invite you towards haram. There may be one or two articles that are worthy of reading, but the rest of it will invite you towards the cinemas, towards the theaters, towards the gambling dens, and towards the prostitutes, and towards all kinds of agencies of haram. That is what they are doing, and they are inviting this person. Now this person, due to some necessity or the other, he is reading the newspaper because he finds that he has to read due to some business reasons. Then this person is making jihad against his nafs. The moment he sees a filthy photograph there, the first thing he does is he destroys it. Because we go into good homes, homes of pious people, people who have got beards, people who are namazis, who are tahajjud guzars. But go and see right on the table, you will find those filthy newspapers with those filthy photographs, and their young daughters are in those homes, their young sons are in their homes, their wives and children in those homes, and the visitors are coming into those homes. It shows that our haya and our sharam and our modesty has died. So what we say is that even if there is justification for reading some kind of article that is there, but we must have the courage, we must have the himmat. Let people laugh at us, let them make a mockery of us, let them criticize us, and let them make a big joke of us that we are daqiyanus, we are living in the 1400 years ago's time, or we are of the camel age, and what is this stupidity that you are tearing up photographs, that newspaper will be left without anything. Let them laugh, let them criticize. Mawlana Ashraf Ali Sahib Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh, one person wrote to him and he said, Hazrat, main daadi rakhta hoon. Daadi rakhne ki fikr karta hoon, but if I have to keep a beard, then people will laugh. Or he said, the people are laughing after I have kept the beard. He said, after I kept my beard, people are laughing. He said, unko hasne dijiye, taake qiyamat ke din tumko rona na pade. What is the sense that we are concerned about the laughter of these people? What can they help us in this world? Did anybody go with anybody into the grave? That because you were my friend, therefore I will accompany you into the grave. Because for my friendship, for the sake of my friendship, you accompanied me to the casino, you came with me to the wild coast, and you came with me to the cinemas and theaters, so therefore now I will also share that punishment with you in the grave. So he said, unko hasne dijiye, taake tumko qiyamat ke din rona na pade. Let them laugh so that on the day of qiyamat you do not have to cry. So therefore this jihad that the person is going to wage against his nafs, it is such a jihad. Ask those people who are all the time making this effort, that in the beginning it is an effort. Afterwards Allah Ta'ala makes it easy, and Allah Ta'ala gives that person such noor in his heart. He gives him such noor that if only the kings knew what that person has in his heart, if only the kings knew what kind of sukoon and chain that person has in his heart, if only the kings knew that what kind of tranquility, peace and serenity that person enjoys within his heart, the spiritual heart. Even though that person's physical body may be weak, even though he has no money in his pocket, even though he may be living in a hut on the mountain top, but if only the kings knew what he had in his heart, they will send a military and an army to go and snatch it from him. Because it's such a treasure that there is no price. It's a priceless treasure. So therefore Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that those people who cannot go to jihad, they can't make jihad because of their weakness or because of some other factors, because of their commitments, but they have got the desire that if I had the strength or if I had the ability, if I had the capacity, then I too would have been making jihad. Then this person, he has got the opportunity that the whole day we do not know how many places he will be tested. We do not know how many places his iman will be tested. The iman testing place I have mentioned before too is not the masjid. In the masjid there is no test of iman. What test of iman? At present who will commit zina in the masjid here? Will anybody sit here and start ghibat now whilst I'm talking? Or will any person start indulging in casting lustful glances at any woman? There's no opportunity to do such thing. The test of iman is not here. Or will anybody start transacting his business here, bring some merchandise and start selling while the khutbah is on? Nobody will do that. So the test of the iman will be in our business houses. The test of our iman will be in the bazaars. The test of our iman will be at the airports. The test of our iman will be in the aeroplanes when the hostess is coming and dishing out food. The test of our iman will be in the supermarkets. The test of our, when we are going to buy and make our purchases. The test of our iman will be in our schools, colleges and universities. But if we can pass that test, that we put the pressure on our nafs and we say that come what may, I am going to please my Allah. Because if I am going to please Him, then Allah's kingdoms will become mine. If Allah becomes mine, then everything is mine. Yes, accidentally again that person committed some sin, then again he makes plenty of tawbah. So therefore Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that those people who cannot, for some reason or the other, participate in the jihad activities, then at least make jihad against the nafs. Allah ta'ala will equate them with those people. May Allah ta'ala give me, give you, and the entire ummah the tawfiq to make amal on these things which I have mentioned. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Inshallah we'll complete it next week.